This is Adrienne with Western States Hemp, and I have on the line with me somebody I met in 2018 at the inaugural event at the Hemp Forum for MJ BizCon. And this gentleman has started his hemp pioneering in the epicenter of all things hemp, which is Colorado, and has moved on to the global scene. So without further ado, I would love to introduce Steve Turetsky. So, Steve, thank you so much for being on with me today.
Thanks for having me, Adrienne.
We have not talked in a while. It's been, gosh, I think it's probably been a year since I've seen you, since COVID kind of shut everything down. However, I did get to join something you were doing, and that was on a more globally based platform, and I want to talk to you about that. But first, a little bit about your background for those new to the hemp space. And we've seen tons of changes in the last few years. People come, people go, seeing the industry kind of shake itself out. But you began in Colorado with a farm called Shy Farm. And tell me a little bit about those beginnings.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it was the land of $7,000 kilos, right? We started the farm in 2017. We worked on that project for 3 years up until COVID kind of took over everything. We had a great run, tripled revenue year over year. We managed 200 acres in Pueblo, Colorado, where it was headquartered. Over the course of 2018-2019, we ended up taking on a co-op, a bunch of different projects around six or seven different states, kind of with the intention of just piloting hemp cultivation in different parts of the country to see how genetics would respond to different climates. And so it was half business, half research. Jumped headfirst into the hemp side of things. I originally started on the cannabis side, the marijuana side, interning and then working at an edibles company called Dixie Elixirs. So I was steeped in cannabis for about 7 years now. And I feel like I've seen it all, but obviously we still have a long way to go since things are, you know, rapidly changing every day, even just today with the House passing the MORE Act. So it'll be interesting to see how everything continues to develop. That's kind of my background.
Well, since leading Shy Farms or bringing that project to completion, you kind of embarked on another project. So while you were still with Shy Farms, you had been taking some trips to Israel, which opened up some additional opportunities, and you began working with a team. Tell me a little bit about the global educational platform that you were part of, because I know that there were some pretty big names involved in that, and I want you to tell people a little bit about that platform.
Sure, absolutely. So the group is called Canatech, and they're formed by ICANN, which is a company out in Israel. Amazing people. Their focus has always been education first and business and deal flow, and everything else will follow. They've been able to cultivate such an amazing community, first of its kind on the international spectrum, where they typically hold events all over the world. I actually attended the first, I think it was their inaugural in Israel back 2016, I think it was. Went to Tel Aviv, and they gave me my big break on the speaking front, which was really cool. I got to speak in front of 50, 100 people in Israel on kind of the beginnings of our project at the time, and just stayed in touch with those guys and just formed such a great relationship and spoke at a couple different events. And then COVID hit, and it was kind of right place, right time. Shy was wrapping up, investment dollars around the industry were kind of, in an uncertain position with everything going on in the world. And people were kind of starving for content because of the lack of global events and lack of travel. And Canatech was known for that. So we kind of put our heads together, me and the executive team there, and decided to a hemp-focused, large-scale webinar. And it turned out, it started as just a tiny little thing where I was reaching out to friends in the industry just to recruit and get some content going. And next thing we had Steve D'Angelo headlining. So it blew up really fast. That was back in August. So much fun. My first time doing an event production on that scale, as is with all Canatech events, the kind of flow of good things coming from it and just community vibes has been super high from that event. And it's great that that's a plausible way to continue to keep the industry connected, because our industry kind of thrives on these, you know, 2-3 time a year events. That's how we met. That's how so many good people get acquainted in the industry. So to have a forum that still allows people to connect is super important for our, you know, continued industry development.
Agreed. When I was invited by you to be part of that event, I didn't realize how big it was going to be, which is funny because the day that I met you and I was invited to speak at MJ BizCon, I had no idea how big that event was. I thought I was going down to some little event where there might have been 50 people. And when I walked into that convention center and realized, you know, there were hundreds and hundreds of people in our audience that, you know, were there to learn that day. I took the same thing away from this Canatech event when I saw not only Steve D'Angelo, but I think the bigger thing that impressed me was the amount of truly global participants there were. From panelists' point of view, I could see where people were logging on from, specifically, I couldn't see individuals, but it would say, you know, South Africa, hello from Israel, hello from Canada. And I was shocked to see how many countries were represented logging on to this event. So since that was in August, and I think we all thought that COVID was going to kind of calm down and life would start going back to normal, but it's obviously reared its head and kept things a lid on things a little bit more. What are you seeing? Because I know that you keep your feelers out in the industry at large. What is the pulse out there on hemp and on CBD production?
It's a really good question. It's funny because I think something that COVID has done that we've never seen before, it's like the climate and like everyone's like appetite kind of shifts on a weekly, monthly basis. Like it just like kind of undulates between like people being really ramped up and ready to like hit it and people kind of getting like COVID depression and being like, I'm stuck in my house, I'm going crazy, business sucks, I hate work. So it's been like all over the place, or maybe that's just me. But in industry at large, I think we're seeing like stability, which is so refreshing. At the start of COVID, I feel like we really saw the floor come in, especially from like a commodity pricing standpoint. And I think that can trickle back to just like supply and demand. And then as we went into the growing season for hemp, we saw, you know, upwards of 50% reduction in terms of acreage planted across the country. It's like, that's staggering. And a lot of that is ripple effect from kind of the market dynamics leading into it. But since, you know, I kind of saw the shakeout of a lot of farmers who couldn't sell last year's crop, just not growing this year. And I think that helps the price fluctuations in the market. So we saw, you know, a little bit of a bump on commodity pricing and just general stability in the market where buyers are having an easier time finding sellers. And now that we're kind of 3-4 years deep into, you know, arranging partnerships and getting to know everyone in the industry, there is a little bit more stability. So that's been refreshing because, I mean, you know, just as well as me, and this is, I feel like this is how we originally bonded, is like, there's so much chaos in the industry in the early days where like you never knew who you were talking to. You never knew if they actually ran a, you know, let's say they ran a high quality extraction facility or literally just owned a 50,000 square foot warehouse with nothing in it. It was completely hit or miss. You never know until you actually went and laid eyes on it. So I feel like that's starting to shake out, which is great.
Right. And you've seen everything from those empty buildings that people are claiming to, you also had a relationship with Mile High. So
there's professional, real businesses operating in the space and everything in between.
So tell me what your focus is, because I know you are still a really key piece of what is going on in this industry, and I want to know what you are up to as of today.
Nope, top secret. No, I'm kidding. So I've been up to quite a bit. It's been fun. After I parted with Shy, it kind of was kismet where I just started my own consulting firm, and there was a lot of just things that were happening with close friends of mine in the industry, and started putting a bunch of pieces together, but I'd love to tell you about some of the big projects I'm working on. So I guess like to kind of fasten it with a bow in terms of like what I'm interested in is really just how we can affect, you know, regional economic development through cannabis. So two of the big projects I'm working on are one's with the San Carlos Apache tribe down in Arizona, and it's through an economic development company that focuses creating businesses and different ventures for tribes to participate in that gives them an economic advantage because of their laws. So I'm working with this company to assist tribes grow hemp, start hemp businesses, monetize the crop. So we did our inaugural pilot this year. We did 10 acres down in Arizona. And that was really cool, kind of getting back to the root of it all and getting people in the dirt and showing them how to grow the crop and then grow a business. So it's kind of like starting shy all over again, which has been fun. So that was this summer. And then coming up, the kind of second thing on the economic development front is my buddy Tawanda, who you may have met at the webinar. He was on the international panel. He's got a venture going in Zimbabwe to kind of grow, do a pilot crop and cannabis extraction at his ancestral family farm down there. He's a Canadian guy, but originally from Zimbabwe. And that's going to be really exciting too. So their seasons are flipped from ours. So we'll be planting probably the next 30 days to be determined if I'm allowed to go out there. If COVID steals that trip, I'm going to be really sad.
Oh, I'll be sad for you. Well, I can tell you, you helped me turn some of our first flower and sell it and start to create a profit stream. So I know what you did for me. If somebody else was out there looking to acquire your knowledge or your services, how do they get a hold of you? How do they find you? How do they hire you?
Sure. So the consulting firm is called the Yala Group. It's still nascent because I've just been busy working with clients. I haven't gotten the website launched yet, but my LinkedIn is a really good place to find me. So it's just my LinkedIn/Steve Turetsky. Or my Instagram is ST_cannabis. What else? Yeah, or just steve.turetsky@gmail, I suppose, is my best email contact at the moment. So that's kind of that on that front. I'd love to tell you about the one more project I have going on, too, if we still have a second.
Absolutely. I want to hear about it.
Heck yeah. So I'm working with a company called Ag Eagle, which is a really cool company in the space that actually came from the agriculture technology world. So they're not initially in cannabis. I got introduced to them through a good industry colleague of mine that I was actually interviewing for a job at his cannabis extraction company. He recently had left that and started with a new company that's Ag Eagle, and they're working on hemp compliance software. So think of it as like the metric on the hemp side. So for those who don't know, metric is kind of the overarching compliance system that a lot of states utilize to track and trace marijuana throughout the supply chain. And Ag Eagle has this software called Hemp Overview that is trying to be that in hemp. So they're currently partnered with the state of Florida, running and managing their hemp registrations, licensing fees, crop oversight management. And they brought me in to assist with bringing that into more states. So I've had a really exciting task of working directly with state governments, kind of learning, you know, what their pain points are from this year's harvest, how they're working with farmers, how are they helping farmers grow the crop, handle the compliance side of things, sell the crop even in some cases. Like Montana has a really cool program where they're actually creating a marketplace to connect buyers and sellers through the state portal. So I've been having a lot of interesting conversations with state departments of agriculture. And the great takeaway there is like, they're all really pumped about the industry. They see it as a huge economic driver for local farming communities and really want to do everything they can to facilitate the growth of it and keep farmers farming hemp.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of explosion in new sectors myself. So I think that the tech sector affecting what we've been doing as farmers for several years is no surprise to me. So, and being that you're already involved in other tech sectors of hemp and cannabis, no surprise at all. Stephen, you're always doing such great work. And I certainly look forward to the next time I get to work with you on a panel or on a project. And I appreciate you taking the time out and catching up with me.
Oh yeah, of course. Anytime. Let's carve out an hour next time, and then we can hear what you're working on and stuff, because we still need to catch up. But it's great talking to you, Adrian. I always have fun, and you're always a really nice, like, positive light in the industry. And every time I talk to you, I get pumped up to keep going. So thanks so much for having me.
You are so welcome. We will connect soon. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.